had said, "Hey, I want you to know I care. I'll even arrange the stars if you want me to spell out God is love up in the skies above you. Don't ask me to come. Don't ask me to zip up a human skin or bow around my divine personality. Don't ask me to see life through human eyes and feel it with a human pulse beat and touch it with human fingertips. Don't ask me anything like that." What if he had said that? But he didn't. He didn't. The Word, God Himself, was made human flesh. He identified and empathized. He climbed inside of what I am. Marched around for 33 years with all the pressure of all the spheres on him, with the rude shock of everything that meant, because God had never done anything like that before. And he would never do anything like that in the same terms again. He marched around in total empathy with you and me, in total identification with us. With us. How did he die? He died by reaching out and saying, "The one thing I hate most is sin. But if I'm going to take it away, I've got to take it away by taking it in." And so he empathized with my sin problem. He identified with it so that he became the absorber of all my sins. And they concentrated on one point, and ground zero was Calvary's cross, where hell from beneath unleashed all of its horror against God, and heaven from above unleashed all of its wrath against the sin of man. And the focal point of the grinding down of both of these in meeting was the cross of Calvary, where Jesus hung suspended between heaven and earth with all of the strands of all kinds of agony coming to bear on him. And they blasted him into oblivion, where he cried out, my God, why have you left me alone? I am abandoned. I am subjected. I'm treated with everything that is bad when I deserve only all that's good. Why?" And the reason was, he empathized. He identified. He gave himself in the gutty affair of Calvary in order to redeem you and in order to redeem me. I wonder if we march home today, sit down with ease at our choice Sunday dinners, or go out in a society where we're affluent enough where we can easily buy a Sunday dinner and not even know the difference in our pocketbook. I wonder if we can go home today and bow our heads and pray without saying, "Oh God, have mercy on me." Because out of all those thousands who will die of starvation in Calcutta tonight, the most who need empathy are not them, but us. We need you to empathize with us so that you can again get inside of my skin and expose your interest and your compassion, your identification, your sympathy and your empathy inside of me, so that contact is made and we absorb together the needs of people and we share your love and your redemption with them. I wonder if we can do that today. One of the great kings in Scottish history was Robert Bruce, who became known as Robert I of Scotland. And he was known as the liberator of Scotland from British domain, from British dominion. He liberated Scotland from England's government. And some of you know his story. In his later years, after so many battles won and a few lost, after coming out of bloody campaign one after another, he contracted leprosy and was isolated with a few friends and aides. He chose it this way, on a little island just off the coast. And he came to die, and his lifelong ambition had been that he might be permitted to make a trip to Palestine, the Holy Land. And it had not happened. And so he called in his chief aide, the British former nobleman, Sir James Douglas. He called him in and he said, "I want you to do me the biggest favor I've ever asked of anybody." He said, "Your wish is my command. What is it?" He said, "When I die, I want my heart to be surgically removed from my body. I want it to be embalmed. And I want you to pledge me that you'll die before you'll fail to let this happen. I want you to take my heart to Palestine, to the Holy Land. I want you to bury it
somewhere inside the walls of Old Jerusalem. Would you turn this evening to Ephesians chapter